morning I'll be reading to you from Luke 14, verse 1 and then 7 to 14. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. And when Jesus noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them this parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said this also to the one who had invited him. He said, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I was younger, one of my friend's father was to receive this big award, and I was invited to go to the awards banquet with them. And so on the evening of the awards, we got ourselves all decked out, and we got there early because we didn't want to be late. And when we stepped into the banquet hall, there was one long table up front for award presenters and guest speakers, and the rest of the banquet hall was filled with round tables with linen tablecloths and crystal glasses and more silverware than I knew what to do with. And because we were there early, we had the pick of whatever table we wanted, and so we chose one up front so we could get some good pictures. And as the banquet hall began to fill up, we noticed that the maitre d' and some of the stewards were having this discussion about, and it seemed like they were trying to solve a problem. Well, then they looked at us, and they came over to us. We were the problem. And they asked us to go to another table. Even though my friend's father was receiving an award, he was not the only one. He was just one of many. And some of the other recipients were getting bigger awards, and so we were asked to stand up, and we had to move to a table in the back, which, as you can imagine, was a little embarrassing for us. But we have the same type of thing going on here with Jesus today in our gospel text. Jesus had been invited to this social party by the leaders and the citizens of Jerusalem. And they all drove up in their fancy cars, and you know, these were the professors and the politicians. They were the high priests and the chief priests, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the people of the Sanhedrin. The party was at a fancy home of a Pharisee, maybe up on a high hill by the Garden of Gethsemane overlooking Jerusalem. The ladies came in there and wearing their beautiful designer evening gowns, displaying their gold bracelets and their pearl necklaces. The men were decked out in their purple Armani suits and their Rolexes. There was small talk that occupies social events like this, and the hors d'oeuvres and wine brought out the fake smiles. Everyone was being witty and charming and just oh so clever. Now, Jesus is the guest of honor at this party. And so anyone who was anybody wanted to be close to him. They wanted to sit next to him, or at least as close to the head table as possible. I just want to take a moment to share another story. When I was in senior high school, I participated in the district and regional chorus festivals in the area. And In order to move on to states, you had to earn first or second chair in your voice range. And although everyone desired first chair, not everyone was capable of doing it, but I did. And I coveted first chair. I just wanted it so much. I was talking to someone about this just last week about this, and I had a rival at those festivals, and if I remember correctly, his name was Doug Williams. And at every one of these choral competitions, Doug and I were duking it out for first chair. And you know what? Every time he won. I was always best man, never the groom. I was always second chair, never first chair. And it was a humbling experience every time. But oh, I desired first chair. And that's what the people were doing at this party. They longed to be in that first chair. They longed to sit next to Jesus. So everyone's being seated, and Jesus is watching how they're jockeying for position. You know, they're trying to get into that seat, or they're talking to the host, and they're bribing one another and saying, well, I'm better than him. I'm more important than him. You need to move me up. And while this is going on, after Jesus has seen this for a while, he speaks out and he says, why are you all trying to be so important? Why are you so anxious about sitting next to me? And you can just imagine how that made the room go quiet. They're a little embarrassed by their behavior. But Jesus continued. He said, when you invite someone to dinner, he said, don't take the place of honor, because someone more important than you may have been invited. And then the host will have to come in front of everyone, come to you and say, you need to get up and leave. This is a place for this person. And embarrassed and red-faced, you'd have to move to the back of the line. He went on to say that when you go to a dinner, sit in the last place. Then when the host sees you, he may invite you to the head table. And wouldn't that give everyone something to talk about? Now, Jesus is not encouraging arrogant, passive-aggressive behavior here, meaning that we shouldn't purposely belittle ourselves in order to have ourselves seen as important by other people and, you know, be exalted like that. That would be wrong, too. But if we are truly humble, then maybe, sometimes, maybe only one time, maybe never, but maybe, if we are humble about it, the host will invite us to a better place at the table. What Jesus is saying is if we walk around with our head up, kind of snooty, then we're going to fall flat on our face. But if we know our place in life and we're content just to simply be ourselves and be humble, then we will be exalted. And I'm sure, hearing this, you can imagine being one of those guests at that party, right? Everyone's just, you know, nervous. They cough. You know, they don't know what to say. Very uncomfortable. And then Jesus goes to the host, who's looking down at his place, sipping his wine. And Jesus says to the host, why did you invite all of these people to this dinner party? Isn't it for me? Well, if it is, then why didn't you invite some of my friends? The prostitutes, the homeless, the beggars, the widows, the street kids, the tax collectors, the sick, the poor. Why didn't you invite some of those people and seat them next to me? And I'm sure you can imagine in your mind the host. I can. He's staring down at his plate. His face is red with embarrassment. His eyebrows are furrowed. His lips are pursed. And he's thinking, that's it. I'm never inviting Jesus to another party. He just doesn't know how to behave himself. But out of this story, we have a classic teaching. Anyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, if I were to ask you on any other given Sunday, what is the greatest Christian virtue? Most of you, if not all of you, would say love. Love. After all, the Apostle Paul said, "And these things remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." And then when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your being. And the second is like it, Love your neighbor as yourself. So why wouldn't we say love, right? But here Jesus is teaching us something different. On another occasion, he caught the disciples arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Basically, what they were arguing about was who was going to be in first chair next to Jesus in heaven. And what was Jesus' answer? He said, "Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom. Therefore, whoever humbles themselves like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Humbles them like themselves like a child is what Jesus said. Think about it. Children, before they go to kindergarten, before they're in preschool, you know, and these little ones, there's no conceit. There's no need to be number one, to be better than other kids. We learn that stuff, but it's not there originally. And that's why kids can go to a playground and just start playing with anybody. They don't care about what they're wearing. They don't care what mom drives. They don't care how much dad makes. They don't care about the color of their skin. They don't care about what religion they are or what political party they're affiliated with. They just want to play. They just want a friend. You know, really, when we hear this teaching, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We reply, those who have faith like a little child. But in this story and other stories that Jesus tells, what makes the child great isn't their faith, because they're not even old enough to really understand all that. What makes them great is their humility, their innocence. What makes a child great is that they have no need to be better than anyone else. They have no need to raise themselves above others. Three times in Scripture, Jesus says, whoever exalts themselves will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And if we are to be followers of Jesus Christ, then we need to learn this virtue of humility. So what is it? What does it mean to be a humble person? Does it mean to feel inferior? Does it mean to put ourselves down? Does it mean that we always get the short end of the stick? No. Does it mean that we have to be timid, a little mouse in the corner, never standing up to be counted or have our thoughts heard? No. Well, then what does it mean to be humble, this thing that is so important to Jesus and is important for our life in heaven? Well, I'd like to look at it this way. Humility is the opposite of pride. And pride is to take that which has been freely given to us by God, our gifts, our talents, everything we have in life, and compare ourselves to others in an attempt to elevate ourselves above them, or to say things that put them down to make ourselves seem greater than they are. Instead of humbling themselves, a person of pride often humiliates others. Pride will make us conceited and selfish. Pride makes us think that the world revolves around us. A prideful person is someone who is unwilling to change in order to help other people. A prideful person is someone who is unwilling to see another person's point of view or to allow someone else's ideas to take precedent over their own. A prideful person is someone who, when they don't get their way, refuses to cooperate or participate in the accepted decisions and programs, and instead tries to undermine them and talk poorly about them. And what is always the result of prideful behavior? Conflict and division. The disciples asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus said, "Whoever humbles themselves like a little child." At the heart of humility is an understanding that everything we are and everything we have comes from God. All our talents, our gifts, our money, our jobs, our homes, our cars, our families, our love, our marriages, our health, everything is a gift from God. And humility understands that. And when we understand that, then how can we boast about anything? How can we take credit for anything and compare ourselves to others? If everything, even the breath we have, comes from God, then how can we use it to try to raise ourselves above others? Now, humility also has a, a social aspect to it. Meaning, Jesus is calling us to expand our social circles and include those that we normally wouldn't associate with. In our scripture today, Jesus told the host, he said, "Where are all these other people? Why didn't you invite the people I hang out with?" He said, "The next time you have a dinner party, don't just invite your friends and rich neighbors, those who can return the favor, but instead invite those who will never get invited, the misfits, the hobos, and those who live on the wrong side of the tracks." To be a Christian means to break down the divisive barriers that we create and to associate with others who aren't like us. Jesus invites us to change our social patterns and start connecting with people that our pride normally wouldn't allow us to. If Jesus was telling this story today, he would probably say, when you have a banquet, invite the homeless, the poor, the unwed mother, the man with AIDS, the migrant worker, the shut-ins, the adulterer, the addicts, even people from other religions. And make sure they're seated next to me at the table. No, they won't be able to repay you. But don't worry, for if you do this humbly, you will be rewarded at the resurrection. You know, I told you earlier about my desire, my striving to earn first chair at the chorus festivals. Many good singers went to those festivals, and some were my friends. And I have some fond memories of those festivals. But you know what my friends remember? They remember fun. They remember fun. I don't remember those times being fun. I remember them being filled with anxiety and worry and disappointment and even jealousy. But my friends remember fun because they knew they didn't really have a shot at that chair, and so they just saw it as a gift, and they did the best they could, and they had fun. But for me, it was kind of work because this was expected of me, and first chair was there to be had. And because of my pride and my coveting that chair, I missed out on a lot of fun at those festivals. And the same is true of life. If we go through life filled with pride, coveting everything we see, including being better than our neighbors and our family members, even other brothers and sisters in the church, if we go through life coveting first chair, friends, we're going to miss out on the fun and blessings of life. But if we will practice humility like a child and be content with what God gives us, regardless of what he's giving other people, if we put others before ourselves and offer them first chair, then this life will be full, and the one to come will be even fuller. Amen? Amen.